Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Michigan Literary Network Radio Show. I am your host, author and founder of the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network, Sylvia Hubbard. You can always check us out at MotownWriters.com for more information on how to subscribe for free, join for free, and of course, we would love for you to support the Literary Network by advertising with us and joining us on our goal to raise 100,000 books for communities around Metro Detroit by donating, and you can find all that information out at our website at MotownWriters.com. Thanks for joining us. Today is November the 13th, 2012. I'm 13, 2013, and it is 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. We are in the lovely Detroit, and I'm going to tell you this. This sunset is beautiful out here. It's like purple and gold and blue. It's just beautiful. So if you're out here, stay warm. If you're inside, thanks for listening and thanks for keeping in tune. And make sure you share the show when you get done. Now, today our special guests are Renee Pruitt. And Renee is a public relations and integral marketing professional. You can check out her website at thepruittgroup.com. And later on in the show, we have Dana Stovall, and you can check her website out at destiniesdoor.org. We're going to come back with Renee in a few minutes after we go in for our commercial. And, of course, I am doing all of this magically, so we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Michigan Literary Network radio show hosted by Motown Writers Network. Thank you for joining us. Motown Writers connects writers to their literary goals and readers to Michigan authors. For writers, we have workshops, conferences, networking opportunities, marketing, and promotions, plus resources available online and offline. We invite writers of all stages to our free writers discussions meetings held every second Saturday except in November at the Barnes & Nobles on Wayne State University campus from 10 a.m. to noon. For readers, we provide literary entertainment, book news, and giveaways online and offline. Check out our website for more information at MotownWriters.com. The Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers annual events offline include the Essence of Motown Literary Conference and Jam, held every second Saturday in November. Also, our literary meet and greet is held in August of every year. Along with that, we have a book club mix and mingle in October. At these events, we invite readers and writers to come together to celebrate the written word, and at most events, they are free to readers. If you're interested in being a guest on our radio show, advertising with us, or promoting your literary project or service, please visit us at MotownWriters.com and click on our contact page for more information. If you're interested in hosting your own show with the Michigan Literary Network, please submit your show proposals to MotownWriters@Yahoo.com. Please share our information with other readers and writers, and we hope you help us continue to strengthen the literary network in Michigan and increase literacy in the Metro Detroit community. For more information, please visit our website at www.michiganliterarynetwork.com.
Okay, so we're back, and like I said, we're with Renee Pruitt, who is a public relations and integrated marketing professional, writer and author of children's book, Todd Cleans the Garage, for ages 2 through 7, mom of 2 college-age children, chair-elect of board of directors, the Children's Center, Detroit, Michigan, grew up in Chicago, lived in Seattle, Washington, Rochester, New York, Cleveland, Ohio, Potomac, Maryland, and now Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, about the book Taj Clings to Garage. Taj always wants new cars for his train set, so his parents encourage him to start earning the money to buy them. Much to his surprise, his new chore turns into an exciting adventure where he is the only one who can save the day. Okay, so Renee, are you with us?
I'm right here.
Oh, okay, don't scare me. I was like, girl, you better say something.
No,
I've been
having
so many technical
you.
Difficulties these past weeks. I was like, oh, this show has got to go perfectly.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, too.
Well,
but
let
yes,
us know first, before we go on, let us know where the book is available and where people can contact you.
The book is available from my website, and that's you gave that out a few minutes ago. That's www.thepruittgroup.com. It's also available at Amazon. And I've been able to talk to some local people where the book is. It's at Book Beat. It's at a couple of places in Ferndale. One is a train hobby store called Rainy Day Hobbies. And it's also available. And it's also available at Yellow Door. So, and it's going to be available at Barnes and Noble. I'm kind of working on some things with them right now.
Okay, so tell us what inspired you to write Taj Cleans the Garage.
Well, as you had mentioned in my introduction, I have two college-age children, but when they were growing up, I was always looking for multicultural books and books with children of color in them. And they were kind of few and far between. And, you know, once you buy a lot of the books that are out there, you know, you get Tar Beach, you get, you know, a number of Anansi books with Anansi the Spider. And,
right.
You know, you do some things with Jack Keats, and there's the Bill Cosby books and, you know, but once you get all of those classics, there's, you know, you're looking for some more stuff to keep your kids interested. And I was always looking for books that reflected them because I felt
right.
like that really would keep them reading. So, you know, I was always talking to friends about it, and they would say, well, you know, you've written a couple of books before. Why don't you write one? I'm like, yeah. But I finally decided to just jump in with both feet and to write some stories about some characters that had some old school values of like, you know, being responsible for doing chores and also following the golden rule. And I just jumped in and voila, Taj Cleans the Garage was the result. And hopefully I'll have another book coming out next year.
Awesome. Now, I said this, that your book is just really beautifully illustrated. Tell us a
Thank
lot
you.
About the illustrations and the illustrator itself.
Yeah, the book is very beautifully illustrated, as you mentioned. I used an illustrator who is a student at CCS, the College for Creative Studies. I knew that I wanted to have some books. I wanted to have a book with pictures that really just kind of flew off the page, so to speak, because those were the kind of books that my son liked. You know, he liked he liked the pictures to be big. He liked the pages to be full of pictures. But I also knew that because there is so much other media that's competing for a child's attention, that I had to get something that really would draw their attention and would really jump off the page with them. So I started, you know, I started reviewing portfolios at CCS, and you know, I must have reviewed about 100 portfolios. All the portfolios are online, and CCS certainly encourages you to look online if you need an illustrator. And then it's a matter of following up with the person and finding out if there's a fit, if, you know, you can negotiate, you know, a fee for them to draw enough pictures in a certain amount of time so that you can book at the end of it. And fortunately, I was able to get in touch with a young woman named Michaela Nienbar, and she's graduating next May from the College for Creative Studies. She is an illustrator. She is an animator, and you know, she's hoping to do some animation movies in the future. But now, because she's illustrated this book, she's very happy with it and is very proud to show it in her portfolio.
Awesome. Now let's touch a little bit about the marketing for this book. Since you already have, you know, you're a public relations and integrated marketing profession. I mean, how did you sync up, you know, your book marketing with your experience, and how did having this experience of marketing already help you with your book marketing efforts?
Well, I will say that this is the third book that I have written. And I'll say that the first two that I marketed, things were a little bit different. The last book that I wrote was in 2000. It was a novel. It was called From Morning Drive to Midnight. And my background is also in radio, and so it was a story about a woman that had 1 year to get her radio station to number one. And it was, you know, at that time, you know, the only thing people really talked about is you had to have a really good cover, and you had to have a really good mailing list of friends and families and book clubs and things like that, and you could market the book, and of course, you had to tie it into something topical to get on television and radio shows.
Right.
I think Baker and Taylor was free. Ingram was free at that time. But this time, you know, I started doing some research before the book came out, and everything is so online now. I mean, you really got to you've got to get online, and you've got to compete for the attention of a lot of people who are looking for great stories and great content, but then there's a whole lot more stories and content out there, too, because a lot of people have jumped into the self-publishing arena. So a lot of my marketing really is really online. You know, all of those, you know, all of those that search criteria that you use, you just go into those categories and you just keep going deeper, deeper, deeper. And, you know, you also have to go in and talk to people. You can't be shy. You have to go into the library and, you know, try to get the book in the library. You have to pass out cards all the time. You really have to push in order to get it out there. But I'm feeling pretty confident. I'm getting a little bit of traction. People are beginning to talk about the book, and I'm feeling pretty good that, you know, Taj Cleans the Garage is hopefully going to become one of those classics that people buy year after year after year.
Awesome. I love that you said, you know, you did your research before the book came out, and I know that's really important, and I do hope others heard that, because that is very important to know your market before you come out and know where you want to go with it. So that was
exactly.
I love that you said that.
Yes, yes. And, you know, and that's what you do in PR, too. I mean, the key in PR always is, you know, who do you want to reach and what do you want them to what do you want them to say after – what do you want them to say about your product after you've reached them? And so, you know, it's about targeting that market. It's about finding out, you know, where they are, what's relevant to them, and then being very on point with your messaging. So, you know, the product is a book. You know, I want it to become a classic. How does it become a classic? It's got to really appeal to my target audience. And so that's really what I'm working on now. And it's not easy. But you know, I love doing it. I love doing it. I keep telling myself, this is the journey. It's the journey.
Right. Right. Definitely. So you said you were working on more books. coming up, which you hope to come out soon?
Yeah, I do have another story. I have worked with another artist who has graduated from CCS, Scott Davis, and he has drawn all the pictures for me, and I'm working with a graphic artist right now to lay out the book, and it's called Malcolm Mows the Lawn. And it's, you know, it's all along, you know, my theme for my books are, you know, I'm kind of targeting little boys because I understand that a lot of little boys drop out of reading around second or third grade because they don't have very much to read that really holds their interest. And then there's all the competition with video games. But, you know, and like I said, you know, I wanted to write books that were very adventurous. So in Malcolm Mows the Lawn, he's out again doing a chore because he also wants to buy trains. That's another theme that's common in the book because my son really loved trains when he was growing up. And his mom tells him, well, if you do a chore, you know, you can earn the money to buy the train. And so while he's out mowing the lawn, that chore turns into another adventure where he actually becomes a hero. And so in all the books, in addition to throwing in a message of responsibility in there, I try to throw in the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So in Taj, he has to make a decision about, you know, he faces a dilemma, and he has to make a decision. And usually when I'm reading the book, I always ask kids, you know, what would you do? You know, just to get a little feel for, you know, where they are on the value scale. And in Malcolm Mows the Lawn, he also faces a dilemma. On his way to becoming a hero, he has to ask himself the question, you know, what would he do? So, you know, it's fun. It just kind of reinforces a lot of things that we teach our kids anyway.
Okay, so why don't you let everybody know, again, the name of the book, where they can get it, and how they can get in contact with you.
Okay, the name of the book is Taj Cleans the Garage, and it's illustrated by Michaela Nienbar, and, you know, I'm the writer of the book, and I'm also the publisher. And you can get it on my website, thepruittgroup.com, or you can get it from Amazon.com. And if you go to my website, I have all the other local places that you can just walk into and get the book, like Rainy Day Hobbies and BookBeat and Yellow Door. And I'm available to read the book at schools, and I'm also doing another presentation to parents where I'm talking about, you know, the 30 million word gap, the reason why it's so important for our kids to read. And also part of this presentation is how the media is really impacting kids, and then what all of us can do to make sure that our kids are literate, are learning how to read and are ready for school when they go to school. So that's what's going on with me with Taj Cleans the Garage.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us, okay?
Okay.
And you have a great
night. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, so next up we have Miss Dana Solo, and you can find out more about her at destinysdoor.org. Dana Simone is a native of Detroit, Michigan. She graduated magna cum laude in 1992 from the United Negro College Fund Institution, Wiley College in Marshall, Texas. Dana Simone has recently completed writing her first book entitled What's in Your 24? How to Get It Done Without Getting Outdone. Her book will attempt to abolish the misnomer that is in women's everyday language, I don't have time. What's in Your 24 is a guide to living happier, getting fit from the inside out, taking control of your destiny, and living life without excuses. So are you here with us today, Dana?
I am. How are you?
I am great. So let's quickly get into this. So what motivated you to write a book of, or what gave you the time to write a book about time?
That's the mystery, is where did I find that time? Well, the motivation actually came from other women who would ask me different things about my lifestyle. How do I do so much stuff in the course of the day? How can I work out? And as I gave them various different tips on how I did that, they kept asking me, I really need you to put this in a book. Please put this in a book. And so I didn't think I was a writer, never thought I would do this. And as I began to write things down, I actually came up with the concept of, if I'm going to do this, it really needs to be conscientious about a person's time. And that's where I came up with doing this in 60 pages so it takes you less than 60 minutes. And so that's where the motivation came from, was just really trying to bestow other women with the information that they said that they really wanted, which was how to get things done and how do we do that quickly and without putting so much effort into it where it takes away their energy or takes away from their entire day to try to get these things done.
So give us just a quick two short lessons that, you know, we can learn from the book.
Couple themes in the book that I like a lot. Well, there's one tip in there that's called the restaurant trap. The restaurant trap, I tell women about overeating in a restaurant. A lot of times we go into a restaurant and restaurants overserve us, and so we think we have to eat everything on the plate. So in the book, I explain that when you go to a restaurant, particularly when you're trying to lose weight, you can order what you want. It doesn't necessarily just have to be a veggie plate, but as soon as your meal comes, ask your waiter or waitress to give you a to-go box and literally cut it in half, the whole meal, cut it in half, and put it in that box. Once you get rid of the other half, put it aside, put it away, put it to the side of you, and eat what's on your plate that's left, your body and your mind will mentally adjust to what's on your plate, and you'll be full after you eat it. For whatever reason, your mind and your body says, this is all I'm going to get, so I might as well get full. So that's the restaurant trap. Don't get caught up into eating everything on your plate because it's really not necessary to do that. The other thing, a good workout that's in the book that women crack up about when they email me, is there's fitness on the go. There's a tip in there about fitness on the go. And I actually have hand weights in every car. I have hand weights in every room of my house, even the bathroom.
Oh, that's funny.
So as I'm at stoplights, if I'm sitting in traffic, I'll do a set of triceps or biceps. I'll do chest presses, shoulder presses, whatever I can get in during that time. If I'm in the restroom, you know, I hate to say I'm sitting in there for, you know, however long, I pick up the weight and I get a quick shoulder press or triceps and biceps. It's always being conscious of my goals. And if I'm trying to lose weight, I need to be focused on that. I need to give it the energy that it deserves. And so I call it fitness on wheels. So I tell everybody, keep your weight, I keep a band inside of my purse, one of those exercise bands. And even when I'm at work, my phone is set to go off every hour. And it tells me, do your triceps and biceps every hour on the hour at my job. I might not get it done every hour on the hour, but at least it's going off 8 times during the day, and I get at least 6 sets in that I probably wouldn't have got in because I had to mentally tell myself to go to a gym. When I'm at conferences, I pull out that band. I pull it up on the top of my thighs because I'm sitting at a table, and the person who's in front of the room, they're talking, not me, and I'll do inner thigh and outer thigh with the band up under the table. Who can see that? Nobody. So I'm getting that workout in the best way that I can get that workout in without, you know, inconveniencing anybody else.
That is funny because I've been known to, like, because I always have canned soup in my drawer, you know, just in case I didn't bring any lunch or something. And I usually take them out and, like if I'm on a phone call or something and I'm just, or I'm waiting on the line for something, I'm, like, usually, like, lifting those up. And, like, I thought I was just the only crazy one that does I don't feel so bad.
You're not.
So
definitely not.
I feel almost better that I'm not as crazy or I'm not the only crazy one in the world. Like, it's a good crazy,
you should.
Though.
You should feel better. You have to be insane about your goals. If that's something you want to do, you have to be insane about it. Otherwise, You just won't do it.
That is awesome. I love, I'm going to tweet that. You got to be insane about your goals. Okay, so you said that you didn't plan to be an author. That, and now that you are an author, how do you feel like your life has changed, or what's different, or, you know, what's good about it, what's better about it, everything like that?
You know what? Now that it's almost that everything is the same. It's just my audience is just growing by the day. The women's lives that I'm impacting, it's just growing and growing by the day. And I get fuller and fuller in my heart by the number of women that say, oh, my gosh, you wouldn't believe how much I got out of your book. Or and they're texting me or they're Facebooking me and saying, I'm doing your thing. I got my notepad next to my desk. And when they say that, to me, it sounds like they're making a transformation in their life that they've always wanted to do. And it could have, it's just probably me. I gave them one little push to get them going. So for me, it's just like great. It's like, wow, more and more women are getting empowered and more women are taking control of their lives. And so for me, that is, it just makes me extremely happy that women are empowering themselves and they're staying on top of their game and they're getting more skills and they're exercising and staying happy for themselves and not just everybody else. And that's just great.
Right. That's awesome. So let everybody know where they can get the book at, where they can contact you about more information and stay up in touch with you.
Okay, the book can be, my author page is located at outskirtspress.com, and the title of the book is What's in Your 24. They can find me on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+. I'm on everything, YouTube, Instagram, Foursquare. So about any social media that's out there, I'm out there. And I would invite people to go to go to YouTube. There is a video of that I posted a couple of days ago that my marketing company developed for me, Amethyst Immersive Media. They did something with my book that's never, ever been done before. It's never been seen before in an adult book. You've seen it before in kids' books, but we brought my book cover to life. So there's an app that when you download this app, and when you hold the phone or your iPad or whatever over the cover of my book, the book cover comes to life and a video of me pops up and I'm talking to you, encouraging you to purchase the book, or I'm encouraging you to go work out at the gym. And as long as you have the app and you have access to my book cover anywhere, whether it's on the computer, a billboard, a bus, if you hold your phone at my book cover, a message weekly will change, whether it's a blog or anything, so you can always stay in touch with me as far as trying to keep motivation in your life on a daily basis.
Awesome. That is awesome. And they can just go to your website for more information at destinyscalling.org.
Yeah, they can go to destinysdoor.org, or they can go to Facebook or LinkedIn. They can go to any of those sites, and that information is out there.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. I appreciate you taking the time out, and we will definitely check that out. That sounds so awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And you have a great night.
Thank you. You too. And thank you to your listeners. Bye-bye.
Okay, so we're going to wrap it up, and as my producer added some notes, she said tune in next week with my guest, Tammy Turner, co-authors of Soul of a Winner. We will have a guest host. I believe it's going to be Andrea Daniels. She apologizes for last week. She had bronchitis. And if you missed the conference and you would love a conference book out there, you can always go to our contact page and hit contact us, and we can send you out one. We hope you will be at our other events. Upcoming is our second Saturday in December, where we have our holiday, bring a gift for an author to exchange, and we will definitely have a gift for you. So I'm excited. Go to our site at Motown Writers Network. If you want to find out more about me, you can go to sylviahubbard.com, and thank you for joining us today. Have a great day.